going to spend much time, I guess, laying the foundation of, you know, end times like these. If you are coherent at all, you know we are not living in the greatest times. You know, look on the news this last week. I saw a six-year-old, I guess, shot his teacher in a school. Of course, politically, I could spend a whole lot of time laying that foundation as far as what our world is in the shape of, things like that. So I don't think I have to convince you that in times like these, we need a Savior. Because even, you know, the most horrible thing that I could try to explain to you, Jesus, it didn't sneak up on Jesus. The Bible says that it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and all of a sudden He's going to come back. And so I guess a little bit of a light in the dark world that we're living in, that, you know, because we are in perilous times and in times like these, we have a Savior. And I appreciate Brother Derek singing that for us this morning. And I hope that was a blessing to you. So in times like these, we'll have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Lord, we do thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for giving us the understanding that the world is going to get worse and worse and worse. But we can have individual revival still, and we can have a revival collectively in our church, and we can be used of you in a great, mighty way in this world. And Lord, help us to do that. But Lord, thank you most of all for you, and knowing that in times like these, we need a Savior, and you're going to come back, and we're going to be able to live and rule and reign for you forever. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So the sun's coming up in the morning. And so praise the Lord for the opportunity. We have Isaiah open to chapter 45, and verse 21 is where we'll get our text verse, and then we'll look at a few other verses when we have our Bible open. But in times like these, Isaiah 45, verse 21 says this: "Tell ye, and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together." So we all understand that we're living in perilous times, as the Bible calls it. Or in times like these, we can take counsel together about that. And I saw some heads nodding when I was talking about the shape of our world and so forth. But who hath declared this from ancient times? Who hath told it from that time? Hath not I the Lord? So it did not slip up on God. He knows exactly what's going on. He's not up there wringing his hands and worrying about what's going on. Who hath told us from the time past? Have I not the Lord? And there is no God else besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. So when I do see the news, as little as I watch it, it makes me upset and mad a lot of times when I watch it. And you can basically flip to whichever channel and hear whichever way the wind's blowing based on what channel you're watching and all that kind of stuff. So you can't get a true perspective of it. But, you know, all of it's fine. Not the situation that's going on. I wouldn't pick that, and I'm not okay with that. But I have a Savior in times like these. And so what I want to do is to ask God, okay, how can I live in times like these that will benefit while you put me on this earth? And then, so praise the Lord, He'll do that. So in times like these, we need a Savior. In verse 1 of chapter 45, it says this. Verse 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, and subdue the nations before him, and I will loose the loins of the king, and open before him two levied gates, and the gate shall not be shut." And so right there we see here that thus saith the Lord to his anointed, whose right hand I hold. And so, of course, the song I sang this morning that the Lord brought to my mind, that unchanging hand. So even though that there's a lot going on in this world that we would disagree with, or we don't understand, or it maybe even makes us upset, we have a hand that we can hold to. And we have a Savior. And there's still some young enough kids around here. I see some hand holdings, especially across the parking lot, things like that, and so forth. And again, some of my kids have that rule. You go outside the restaurant, you go into the parking lot, okay, hold the hands. Wow, take care of the kids. The kids will just bolt out through there. They're not worried about a car and so forth. But they're guiding them, and they're keeping them from harm. So in times like these, we have a Savior that will hold our hand. You know, again, and now I know we're all mature and adults now. I don't need to hold hands. I still like holding my wife's hand. All right? You know, we still do that every once in a while. But praise the Lord, we have a Savior. And if we're nervous or if we're scared at all we got to do is reach that right hand up. And the Bible tells us He'll get a hold of it. And He'll guide us through. In times like these, we have a Savior that holds our hand. And my son Brian, he sings a song, "I Can't Even Walk Without You Holding My Hand." Love that song. Again, I need the Savior. So in times like these, we have a Savior that holds our hand. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, "I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight." So the second thing we see here in our Savior, we have a Savior that will hold our hand. We have a Savior that will make all the crooked places straight. Told you already, I played a few sports growing up. And I wasn't, big enough to run the ball a lot. But there were some times that I ran the ball as a fullback or a tailback. And again, as all tailbacks would tell you, they praise the Lord or at least appreciate their fullbacks and those linemen. A lot of them will do their little jig in the end zone and celebrate themselves when they score a touchdown. But if those linemen or that fullback decided to take the play off, they would be squished, not celebrating. So anybody that is a true tailback appreciates their fullback and those linemen that are quick enough to pull. Pulling lineman is basically one of those big old fellas. And he's actually fast enough that he can leave his spot, pull over here and run through the line here and make a hole for that running back to go through. So when they pop out of there like that, you're like, "Oh wow, they're fast." Or, "Oh wow, they can juke really good." If it wasn't for that lineman making that hole, that fastness and that juking would probably be squished under a pile. They need that hole made for them. And so that's what this is talking about. God will make those crooked ways straight. So we're in this world and the devil's going to make it as hard as possible for us to walk a straight line. He's going to try to throw things in our paths. He's going to try to trip us up. He's going to try to devour us, the Bible says. But praise God, we have a Savior that'll make those crooked ways straight. And so again, we ought not go through and say, pump our chest, "I'm a great Christian and look at what I'm doing," or do some type of end zone dance when we lead someone to Christ. Because it was all the Savior that did it, that made it possible, that gave us the strength, that gave us the mentality to do it. So praise the Lord, He'll make those crooked ways straight. Look at verse 3. It says here, "And I will give thee treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places." So even though in times like these we have a Savior that will meet us in those secret places. Again, I appreciate my office and I like the quietness. I like to come here early in the morning. But the most thing I like about it, He met with me in there this morning. Not because of me, not because of anything that I did. But He's the one that brought that song to my heart. And said, "Hey, I want you to sing this." "Yes, sir." Not the only way I'm going to show them I can sing. No, I was just obeying the Lord. He met me in the secret place. And so again, when we see something going on the news or out in the world, we're like, "Lord, what in the world is going on?" He's just waiting for you to come to that secret place and hold His hand and say, "I got it. I'll straighten it all out for you." And so we can go through life with a smile and with excitement. And everybody looking at us like, "Don't you realize what's going on around you? I'm good. I got a Savior. And He's holding my hand. And He's making all those crooked ways straight. And He met with me in this secret place this morning or this evening or all throughout the day." And so praise the Lord. In times like these, we have a Savior. Look at verse 5 and verse 9. Verse 5 says this, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God before me or besides me. I have girded thee throughout, though thou hast not known me." Verse 9, "Woe unto them that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive not with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say unto him that fashioned it, What makest thou? Or thou work hath he hath no hands." And so in times like these, we've got a Savior that fashioned us. The Bible talks about that, the potter and the clay. And praise the Lord for the ability of that potter that can fashion us like He wants. And of course, if there's a blemish, He has the ability to get that blemish out. If there's a mistake, the Bible even says He can remake it. All right. So praise the Lord for a Savior that has fashioned us and will help us get rid of those blemishes. And if we even make a big old huge mistake, He can remake us. The Bible says He gives us a new name. He's going to give us new desires, new directions. So praise the Lord that God's making us. And we're fearfully and wonderfully made. So in times like these, that's why God put us here. To be a light and be an example and to be the salt of the earth and allow God to do that for us. Let's look at verse 13. In times like these, we have a Savior. Verse 13 says, I have raised Him up in righteousness, and I will direct all His ways. And He shall build my city, and He shall let go my captives, not for the price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. So we see here we got a Savior that will direct our ways. Not only will He make those ways straight, He will direct our ways. And last one we'll look at in this introduction here is verse 20. Verse 20. And it says, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, that ye are escaped of the nations. So in times like these, I praise the Lord for a congregation that can escape. Right now, sitting in here, all is well. And the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail. So again, we can come out of that crazy world that we live in. We can turn the TV off for a little while and we can come meet. And the Bible says He'll meet with us. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And it goes on to say, and is I'm going to paraphrase here, as crazy as it gets and the worse that it gets, even assemble more. So, you know, Sunday school helps. Sunday night helps. Wednesday night helps. Revival meetings help. Just keep meeting. Why? Because when you come out of that crazy world and you meet with the Savior, it says here in Matthew 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst. And so even if it's just a fellowship of two or three people that are saved, God's right there. So in times like these, we have a Savior that will meet with us. I guess I told a story. We've got two more verses we're going to look at. Obviously, the first one we read, verse 21, tells us in times like these that we have a Savior. And the first two words of verse 41 says this, tell ye. So when we obviously grow in our Christian life enough that we understand all that, that we have a Savior that'll protect us and hold our hand, and He'll make our crooked way straight, and He'll meet with us, and He'll guide with us. He's the one that fashioned us. When we start grasping all that, the Bible says, tell ye. So not just the preacher in Sunday school, or not just the preacher in the service, but us at work, us out in the community, we can tell about that Savior. How is it that you are not crying like I'm crying because of the situation of this world? How can you not post or picket or do this or complain? Because I have a Savior, and we ought to take advantage of telling people that. Again, not choke hold against the wall. You will listen to me. But when God opens the opportunity, God opens the door for us to brag on Him. The verse says here, we have a Savior that wants us to tell ye. Talk about Him. Brag about Him. Last verse, verse 22. Verse 22 says here, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. So we're supposed to look and be saved. Of course, we have an example of that in John chapter 3, verse 14, where it was talking about what Moses did. You know, they all got to complaining and griping about the situation of their world, and the Lord sent serpents to bite them. So I don't want to get involved in the complaining and the griping and the pitching of the fit. I want to get involved in what we looked at beforehand. But in this case, they were griping and complaining about the situation of the world instead of letting God use them to be a light and be an example. And He sent serpents to bite them. And of course, some of them got right with the Lord immediately. Oh, what do I do? What do I do? And the preacher said, well, God, what do we do? And He said, make a serpent, put it on the pole, and lift it up. And you tell them, look at the serpent, the brass serpent, and you'll live. That's what God said to do. And so in that group of people, I'm sure there were some that went, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I got snake bite. I got poison running through my body, and you want me to take the time to look at some brass serpent? So there's a lot of people in our world today that's involved in the craziness, and we tell them all you have to do is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He died and rose again, and accept Him as your personal Savior, and you'll go to heaven, and all things will be fine. Ah, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's not right. And if they have that opinion, just like that day, those people died. And then there were some that, you know, they weren't super Christians. They didn't have great faith. They were like, that's weird, but I don't want to die. So I'm going to look. And they lived. It wasn't their great faith. They weren't super Christians, you know, showing the Superman shirt. They were just, okay, whatever. And there's people that's like that in their Christian life. But there were some that day say, well, if that's what God said, if that's what my preacher said to do, that's what I'm going to do wholeheartedly. And they lived too. But I guarantee you, they had a lot better relationship with the Lord that day. And the Bible, not the Bible, but the hymn book says, look and live is what the hymn book says. So we see here, we're supposed to look unto Him because there is none else. The Bible tells us a few specific places in the Bible when we need a Savior. We'll look at this under this point. There's a few specific places in the Bible that tells us we need a Savior. Again, you're trying to get over a sickness. This is what the doctor says. Take this for this many days and you'll get over it. Okay. And you follow every little detail. And you know, if you're like me, hard-headed, you take a couple days and you feel better, and so you just stop taking it. And it comes back. But anyway, you got to do what it says. So in the Bible, there's a few specific places where it says you need a Savior. Psalm 9:9 says this, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. So we need a Savior when we're going through times of trouble, whether it be physical trouble, family trouble, financial trouble, any trouble you can allocate to that, we need a Savior. And He's right there. It says He's our refuge. So we need a Savior in times of trouble. Second one, Proverbs 24:16 says this, for a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again. So He reached out to that right hand. So in times where we've blown it, where we've made mistakes, we've fallen flat of our face in our Christian life, the Bible says, just man rises up again. So in times of trouble, we need a Savior. When times where we've fallen, we need a Savior. Acts 3:19 and 21 tells us the third place we'll look at. It says here, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So obviously we all need to be saved that same way. But then it goes on and says here, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So I remember the day I got saved, 10-year-old boy. I was boo-hooing. I was excited. They say you don't get saved by feelings, but I was feeling some stuff that day. I was excited. I had goosebumps on top of my goosebumps, all that stuff. Now, again, you don't have to have goosebumps on top of your goosebumps to get saved. If you said, Lord, please forgive me for my sin, come to my heart and save me, and you felt nothing, you still got saved. It's what the Word of God says. But I had them that day. I was having the heebie-jeebies. And I was excited, and then I got saved. But since that time, I needed some times of refreshing. And so the Bible says you have a Savior for times of refreshing. Verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets since the world began. So there's going to be times we need restitution, and we got a Savior that'll help us with that. The fourth one. 2 Timothy 3:1 says this, this know also, that in the last days, and we talked about this earlier, perilous times will come. We need a Savior. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So we're all going to face that, unless the rapture takes place. We're going to all face that appointment. And I've seen different ones. I've been in hospital rooms when people took their last breath. And it's different night and day when the person's saved and when the person's not. I mean, at that appointed time, they're just waiting. I mean, I've had people say, can you see them? Talk about angels and talk about loved ones. And I'm like, no, but if you can, praise the Lord. At times like these, when you're going to face that, we're all heading that way. But that appointment we have, praise the Lord, we'll have a Savior. And so if we're going to die right, we have to get right and stay right, because we're going to give an account for all the things that we've done. Last one, Psalm 62:8 says this, trust in Him at all times. ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. So think about that. So we need a Savior at all times. Number two this morning. In times like these, we need the Spirit. In times like these, we need the Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. So not only do we need a Savior, we need the Spirit. John 14, 16 says this, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter." Jesus had been down here comforting everybody, taking care of everybody, healing everybody, saving everybody. "But I'm going to pray to the Father, and He shall send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." So praise the Lord. In times like these, we have the Holy Spirit. We can hear Him say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." We can hear Him say, "God's got it all under control. He's going to take care of it." We can hear Him say, "Witness to this person," or "Help this person out." We can hear the Holy Spirit. John 14, 26 says this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So in times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need the Spirit. And of course, it's one and the same. We know the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's one and the same, but it's a blessing to have the Holy Spirit saying, "I got it. It didn't slip up on me. I've got everything under control." So a few specific times where the Holy Spirit talks about that He blesses in times like these. Matthew 5:4. Matthew 5:4 says this, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." I've seen, again, those situations where it's hard to lose a loved one or to go through some tragedy. And you see some people, they're just hysterical. They say that people lose their minds at weddings and funerals. They come out of the woodwork. All right. But if a person is saved and right with God and they go through a situation, they're not desiring it. They're not happy that it's there. They're not jumping up and clicking their heels. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will show up and comfort you if you're mourning. And they're like, "How are you going through this?" I am not in my own. The Holy Spirit's comforting me. And you see, again, certain people respond different ways at tragedy. And again, some people they try to just like act like it's not happening. That's not a blessing. That's not a comfort. But the Holy Spirit saying, "I got it." So blessed are they that mourn; they shall be comforted. Sometimes we see the Holy Spirit work through testimonies of others. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 14:31. "For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted." So not only have I had this Holy Spirit comfort me in those times of loss or times of concern, I've also listened to others testify how that the Holy Spirit and what the Word of God helped them through, and that comforted me. So if you look at it in the big scheme of things, a lot of times God will let you go through something. You're wondering, "Why in the world did this happen?" But you're okay. I want to respond the right way. I want to learn. I want to grow from it. And the Lord teaches you. And you come through. And then several years later, you see somebody. They're going through the exact same thing. And you're able to share a verse. Or you're able to share what the Holy Spirit shared with you. And it helps them. That's what this verse is saying. "For ye may all prophesy one by one. Testify one by one. That all may learn and all may be comforted." So again, I understand you can't go to somebody and say, "I know exactly how you feel," because y'all are different people. Y'all may respond differently, but we have the same God and we have the same Holy Spirit and we have the same Word of God that will help us all learn and be comforted. Next one, 2 Corinthians 1:4. "Who comforteth us in all tribulation, that you may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, by comfort wherewith we ourselves were comforted." So basically saying the same thing the last one. When we've learned how to be comforted by the Holy Spirit, we can in turn help somebody else. Last one we'll look at on this one. Colossians 2:2. "That their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of full assurance, understanding, and the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, of our Father and Jesus and of Jesus Christ." So this verse talks about, again, what we talked about earlier, us collectively. Again, the Holy Spirit will comfort you. The testimony of others that have went through something will comfort you. But it's comforting to me to know that there's people like you praying for me. I mentioned a couple of prayer requests this morning. I heard Brother Raji pray it. I know God heard that. All right? But as God brings it to your mind through the week, you'll pray about it. That's what this is talking about. We're comforted when we're knit together. When we have that prayer list and it's read out loud on Wednesday night and read out loud on Sunday in Sunday school, and people are praying, that's knitting us together. Again, I haven't known you very long, but some of your concerns of loved ones, some of your concerns of work, some of your concerns of health, it's already in there. And every time I think of you, I pray for you. And that's knitting my heart together. And I hope that happens for everybody, group-wide. And that's a comfort. And the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us do that, because our Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit bears witness, and it knits us together. So praise the Lord, in times like these, we need a Spirit. Number three, in times like these, we need the Scripture. In times like these, we need the Scripture to comfort one another with. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If you read what words he's talking about, there was some of their loved ones that had passed on. And the Bible teaches that absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it talks about those that are alive and remain. We shall be caught up together. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then us. And then the Bible tells us to comfort one another with these words. And again, at a funeral, this verse is used a lot. You hear people, and that's how they cope. That's how they get over. They have the Holy Spirit. They have the understanding of the Word of God. If the person's saved, to be absent from this body, they're with God. And you hear statements like, they're in a better place. I know they're not suffering anymore. Hey, those are comforting words. Now, sometimes it takes us a little while to get there because it hurts so bad. But praise the Lord, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, we can comfort one another with these words. Not only do we need the Scripture to comfort one another with these words, the Scripture also tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:18, in times like these, we need the Scripture. Why? Because the Bible says in verse 18 of chapter 3, 2 Corinthians, but we all, talking to all of us, with open face, beholding in a glass, glory to the glory. So in other words, the Bible is describing itself as a mirror. As a mirror. And I appreciate the fact that it looks like everybody in here, you used one this morning. All right? Both of my hairs are in place, cemented down, they're fine. All right? My teeth don't have any like green fungus on them. I looked in there and got them all clean. All right? So you looked in the mirror and it helped you to fix your hair. You know, your tie's pretty straight. All right? Your clothes match. Every time I think about clothes matching, I remember a roommate I had in college. He was colorblind. So his mom hung his pants, his shirt, and his tie all in the same hanger. We were nice roommates, so we would adjust that sometimes. And he would go to class, and it was his tie had never met his socks. It wasn't the same color as his shirt, and so on and so forth. But anyway, we see here, when you use a mirror, it helps you to look like you're supposed to look. So the Bible says in times like these, let's use the Scripture, but we all, with open face, beholding as a glass, glory to glory, then it says this, are changed into the image from the glory to glory, to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So when we go through in times like these, we can look in the Scripture and it can be a mirror to say, look, you behave like this, you look like this, you respond like this, you act like this in the world, and it'll be a blessing. You'll be a light into the world. James 1:23 says this, but if we be a hearer of the word and not a doer, so if we hear the word of God and we choose not to do it, the Bible says this, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So in other words, if you looked in the mirror this morning and you had bedhead severely to the left, and you looked and the mirror told you, your hair is looking rough, and you're like, and you went on your way, we would all be shocked. You're sitting there in the pew with bedhead. All right. If you said, this matches. I don't need a mirror. And we're like, did you not have a full length mirror in your house this morning? All right. If you did, it's lying to you. So that's what this is talking about. If we hear the word of God and we don't do what it says, it's like somebody looking in the mirror saying, forget it. So in times like these, we need the Scripture to be a mirror. In times like these, we need the Scripture to be a fire and a hammer. Jeremiah 23:29 says this, is not my word like as a fire? And of course, a fire can mold and melt. If you're working with metal, it gets it hot enough so it can be pliable. That's what the Word of God's for. Read it. Study it. Hear it preached. Live it. It'll mold you. into what you're supposed to be. Then it says here, like a hammer that break the rock into pieces. Sometimes it's pounding. I've walked out of services before. Maybe I was not right with God or running from God, and it's like the preacher had been following me around all week. And it was like, bow, bow, bow. I felt beat up. That's what the Word of God is there for. In times like these, sometimes we might need a hammer. We might need a fire. And last one, in times like these, we need a sword. Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Also in Hebrews 4:12 it says this, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the Word of God not only can be a hammer and a fire and a mirror, it can also be a sword. So when the devil tells you, you know, it's over, this world's not ever coming back, you know, I've won this, that, and the other, we can use our sword and tell him that God's still in control. God's still doing what he wants. God can still use me. We can still be an influence in this world. So we can use the sword as the Bible as a sword. Last one we'll look at this morning. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In times like these, we need the Scripture. And lastly, in times like these, we need a saint. We need a saint. A lot of people, you know, maybe they're not in their Christian life enough to know when the Holy Spirit's really speaking to them. They hadn't had a relationship with Him a long time. Maybe they haven't read enough of the Scripture for it to influence them. But they may have been around you. And you're a saint of God. Now, again, none of us are perfect. But with God's help, with the Spirit, and with the Scripture, and us living like we're supposed to be, we can be a testimony. We can be a saint. So we ought to praise God in times like these for godly parents and godly grandparents. They're saints. I appreciate the fact that I have saved mom and dad. I have appreciation that I had saved grandparents. Third generation Christian here. All right, so praise the Lord for that. In times like these, I got a saint. My grandma, she took me to church when I was a little bitty. I praise the Lord for that. Always prayed for me. We had a situation at our church when I first got in church. They did some type of bond program, and they sold a bunch of bonds, but the church closed its doors, and a lot of people lost that money that they were putting that bond program in there. And a lot of them were relatives of mine. And so I was at a Christmas celebration at my grandma's house one time, and I heard several great uncles saying, you know, we lost this, and we lost this, and we lost this. And my grandmother said this, and she pointed right at me. And she said, if that right there is the only thing that came out of that church, it was worth every bit of the money I lost. Thank God for saints. In times like these, if she lived that way, I know the world may be worse than it was when she was alive, but I want to be like that. I want to have that outlook. So praise God. In times like these, we can have a saint. We can, and I have had, and Lord willing, the Lord will help me be this for you. A godly pastor that studies the Word of God and prays for us. In times like these, it's nice. When I was a teenage boy, I liked going to my pastor. Brother Wayne, what does this mean? And he would tell me. Brother Wayne, how should I do in this situation? And he would tell me. So in times like these, there's people out there, there's saints out there that we can get advice from. So in times like these, we need a saint. The Bible calls them gray heads. In times like these, we can go to a godly elderly person for an example and for advice. In that scenario in the Bible, it doesn't tell the gray heads to come beat you over the head with the Bible. And sometimes more mature people, they want to do that. No, I'm going to show them. What it's indicating is to the young whippersnapper, you younger ladies, go ask. Don't say, I got this figured out. I ain't had kids yet. I wrote a book on how to raise kids. There's pamphlets like that out there. You know, people, oh, this is how you do it. Have you ever had a kid? No. No. In the Bible, it talks about people that have done it. The gray heads. Us younger ones, or I can't say that anymore. Y'all younger ones, come to us gray heads. Okay, and get advice. We're not going to force it down your throat. But in times like these, it's great to have people that have been in church their whole life. They're great examples. They've lived like God wants them to live, and you see the evidence of God's blessing. You know, how did you do that? Well, I just always put God first. I always did what the Bible said. That's awesome. In times like these, you need a saint, a godly peer. This can be somebody your same age. But I believe the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. So it's great in times like these if you go to a friend that's your same age and they're like, well, I think this, well, the Bible says. Oh, really? Iron sharpeneth iron. So it doesn't have to be a gray head. It can be somebody that's on your same wavelength, age-wise. Iron sharpeneth iron. And in times like these, we can have a godly person of the past. We can read books about people. You can read like D.L. Moody, his wife. You can read about Oliver B. Green and his wife. People that have passed on that God used in a great mighty way. You can have a saint of the past. So in times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need the Spirit. In times like these, we definitely need the Scripture. And in times like these, we need a saint, a good testimony for us. So let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Most important one this morning is you need a Savior. If you have a Savior, the Holy Spirit will come in you. Then you'll understand the Scriptures and you'll understand the testimony of the saints. But if you don't have a Savior, none of these other things will fall into place. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in an invitation hymn. If you're not saved this morning and you'd like to be, come, I'll show you from